Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Dr. Jim Bradford. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Last Wednesday night, there's about half of you that are here tonight, last Wednesday, because it was Halloween. There are a lot of things going on. But we did start thinking about the holidays last week, and we're in the middle tonight of a three-part series on surviving holiday stress. How's that for a subject for us? We look at Wednesday night as just being a spiritual recharge for us, and we got holidays, Thanksgiving first, and then Christmas, and then New Year's. Right in the middle, though, the centerpiece of the holidays is the coming of Jesus, and Isaiah 9 and verse 6, for to us a child is born, and to us a son is given. That's why we're going to have these holidays. We're going to celebrate. We're going to worship the Lord. We're going to rejoice. Amen? We're going to rejoice. Can I hear that again? We're going to rejoice because God has sent his son. To us a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulders, not all the people we elected yesterday, but the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called, say him out loud with me, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Now that last one is great. He's the Prince of Peace. So why are the holidays so stressful? Why is it so stressful to celebrate the coming of the Champion of Peace? There are what I call the big three that really are going to be a part of the next month and a half of our lives. The first one are the expectations. The expectations we face. That's what we talked about last week. Remember the two lines? What we expect, what we experience, and the gap in between. We can fill that gap with hope in the Lord and gratefulness, especially from Thanksgiving on gratefulness. Or that gap gets filled with frustration and anger when what we expect of ourselves, of the people around us, doesn't quite match what we're experiencing. So expectations are bad. The holidays are full of all kinds of expectations about how we should feel, how we should act, all the things we ought to do. And then the next one's uncontrollable. So I'm going to talk about that tonight. And then obligations. We'll hit that one next week. I mean, those are the big three to me. Expectations, uncontrollables, and obligations. That's the dark side of the upside of the holiday season. And we want to manage those in ways that it doesn't take away our peace, doesn't stress us out, and doesn't eclipse the joy of celebrating who God is and Jesus coming to our world. We're going to talk about that middle one, the uncontrollables thing. I call it that control thing. And those who study stress, those who research stress, will tell us that really at the heart of stress is our inability to control things. You will especially feel stressed over things you can't control. I lived for 15 years on the West Coast, and I jockeyed West Coast freeway rush hour traffic for 15 years. When you're sitting in the middle of seven lanes wide going one direction in cars as far as you can see in front of you and far as behind, and they're creeping along at 10 to 15 miles an hour, and you're watching your watch because you're already late. I mean, that redefines stress right there. In fact, they've done stress freeway. They've done stress studies for executives and companies, and those who ride the freeways have higher heart attack incidence if they're over 45 than those who don't drive the freeways every day. I mean, it'll stress you out. Why? Because when you're stuck in bumper-to-bumper traffic, you are out of control. So what? You need to get somewhere fast. There's no way you are. So you're out of control. They've also, like the DuPont Company years ago, did a study of high-level executives versus more admin assistants and lower-paid salaried workers in the company. And they found actually the higher, you'd think, you know, the leaders are the ones with all the stress, right? No. Because they have more discretion over what they do. They can choose where they're going. They've got people they can call on for help. And the higher stress levels were with the secretaries and the custodians and the admin assistants. And the same can be said for hospital orderlies and all kinds of ways, because most of what you do is imposed on you by others. You don't have much control over what you choose to do or not. That's determined for you. But that's also the prescription for stress. And so this control thing is a big issue for us when we come to the holidays, because we may not just consciously process it in terms like, I can't control that, and so it stressed me out. But we are going to be around things and people and circumstances you can't really control. I wrote a little short list. Here are some of the holiday uncontrollables that I'm going to be facing, and you will. First of all, gift buying deadlines. I don't know about you, but Christmas Eve just comes around whether I want it to or not, you know. And I have got right up to the edge of Christmas Eve and not got my Christmas gift spot yet. And those deadlines, you can't control that deadline. It's just going to come whether you want it or not. There's going to be extra events at work. There's going to be office parties and family events. And you know what? They're going to be there. You didn't plan half of them. You will need to be there, but you didn't plan them, and you didn't invite all the other people that are going to be there. It's not all going to be your favorite people there. You didn't control the guest list. You didn't control the night it's scheduled, whether it's convenient for you or not. And you're going to be with people that you don't know very well. And you know, you kind of feel a little out of control when you're around people who don't know. Because first of all, you don't know if they even like you, let alone how to have a conversation beyond how are you and isn't the weather bad today. And then your crazy uncle. Your crazy uncle's going to be there at Thanksgiving dinner. And there's no way he's going to be crazy like he always is. You're just not going to be able to change that. And you're going to have limited finances, most of you. Maybe a few of you won't, but most of us have to deal with the budget. Not quite enough money to go around for all the gifts we'd like to give. That's kind of out of our control. Limited time. My wife calls it the hurry disease. I mean, we've really had to work on this in our lives. Because when you are in a hurry, I mean, you feel all this tension with what I can control, what I can't. I'm in a hurry. I'm running out of time. I just don't know what to do. And hurry is a huge stress thing. I mean, they link heart problems and all kinds of things to constantly being hurried and just feeling that pressure. Because, schedules feel out of your control. You just don't seem to have enough time to get everything done. Some of you will be separated from family this holiday season. And you're not going to be able to do anything about that. You wish it was different. Some of you are going to be celebrating the first Christmas, first Thanksgiving without a loved one who's always been at that table and they're not there anymore. And there's no way you're going to change that. You've already been to their funeral this last year. You've already said your goodbyes to them and they're not going to be there. But that's just something you can't change and it can really eat away at you deep down. There's going to be flight delays if you're going to travel, believe me. There's going to be people's bad attitudes around. Everyone ought to have Christmas cheer, right? And you're going to have people with bad attitudes around you this next holiday season. And you're going to find that you cannot control, and thank God we can't, but this tends to stress us out. You can't control other people's behaviors and feelings. And sometimes we feel like we should be able to. I know there's a lot of marriages would really improve if both spouses decided, you know what, I really can't control how my spouse feels or behaves. I can influence it, but I can't control it. And you start walking across a line and trying to control what you cannot control, especially other people. I guarantee you, every relationship you're trying to control, you're also choking the life out of that relationship. And you are also making yourself God. When you think you can control the behaviors and feelings of other people. But it's so tempting to just slip into that dimension at the holiday season. Well, how many are depressed? How many would like to punch the fast forward button and just get to January 2nd really fast, right? But here's the good news. We can do something about that. First of all, here's what I consider my stress management. Here's my personal stress management philosophy when it comes to the uncontrollables in my life. And it just goes like this. You won't find this in a book. I made this up. Change what you can and surrender what you can't. That's what I try to do in the holiday. This has helped me with so much of life for me. First of all, change what you can control. Some things you can control. And if you think ahead, maybe there's some things you can change. For instance, I have an office at home upstairs at home. We have a kind of a bonus room. My wife and I have a desk in there. We have some bookshelves in there. And it just, you know, I've been very busy the last year and a half. A lot of it, I've had two jobs, not just one. And, you know, that place, I mean, we're clearing it out now, but that place just gets cluttered and dirty. I mean, you know what? And when there's clutter all around me, I just feel out of control. I feel like life's out of control. Everything's piles everywhere, disorganized. I mean, I don't know about you. I had an executive pastor at another church, it wasn't Pastor Carter, who once said to me, "Pat, I just cleaned my desk off because I just have a thing about that. I'm less stressed if the desk is neat." And he said, "Pastor Jim, if a cluttered desk means a cluttered mind, what does an empty desk mean?" Got me. So, but I don't know, empty desk or not, I just feel more control when everything is in place and my stress level goes down. And that's something I can control. I can control whether there's clutter all around me or whether I just spend an hour, like I did this week, I spent a couple hours just trying to clean up around me and just organize things a little bit. Control what you can. Change what you can. And so that's just an example, and I find that lowers my stress. That may not work for you, but I'm going to give you five quickies here. These are five quick bullet points for changing what you can control. There are some things you can change to make this season easier. Number one, watch your diet and get some exercise. Exercise is great, by the way, because doctors tell us that exercise actually reverses the destructive effects of stress on your life. And I won't go into all the destructive physiological effects on stress on your body, but stress will wear you down, it'll create heart disease, it'll do all kinds of things, but exercise reverses that. And it's just good, I shouldn't say this on my wife who's not here tonight, she's with our daughter out of town, but the other day, she went out for an hour walk. She loves to walk. She went for about an hour walk, and she said to me later, "I just had to walk because I was feeling so stressed about all the things I had on my mind that day, today." But she said, "It really helped me just get out there and walk." And you know what? Exercise is good. If you can just pace some exercise, work some exercise into your busy schedule and watch your diet. Now, we're going to all eat terrible this holiday. I mean, I hope you eat terrible. I mean, what are the holidays for except we eat terrible things that we don't usually eat? But you can watch how much you eat of it and when you eat it. You know, sugar in the wrong times of the day and all that kind of thing. I mean, be careful. Try not to overeat. And when you're not at a party, you're not eating a big dinner, I mean, try to moderate it. Eat as healthy as you can between the holiday events. Number two, know your limits and say no if you need to. I love the title of that book, "Why Do I Feel Guilty When I Say No?" You know, that I've never read the book. I just needed the title, right? Because that's all this false guilt. And we're going to talk about obligations next week, so I'm going to leave that there. There are some biblical obligations we need to keep. We just need to reframe how we look at those. But not every expectation is an obligation. And you know what? Some of us are saying yes to things we shouldn't say yes to. And you may need to say no to some things. And that leads me to the next one. Work ahead on your calendar. So get the events you need to be at in the holiday on your calendar. Get them ahead of time. And then when you see you've got 2, 3, 4 nights already out, you got the office party, you got Sunday school class event, your small group event, you've got already 3 things in a week, it might be okay to say no to something else, and it may not be a sin. I mean, if you don't control your calendar, everybody else in your life will. You know, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life, and so do a lot of other people. They also love you and have a wonderful plan for your life. Who's going to say no? And every obligation isn't necessarily the will of God for your life. There are some things you may need to just get under control and say no. I mean, 3 things in a week is enough. And I don't think, for the sake of my sanity and my health and all these things, I'll add a 4th. All right? And then take tasks one at a time. Don't try to multitask. Multitasking, by the way, is a myth. I mean, they've even done scientific research on this. You can't. They say only a fraction of 1% of the population can authentically think about and do 2 things at the same time. I'm not talking about, you know, patting your head and rumming your tummy at the same time. I'm talking about really thinking about 2 different things at exactly the same time. you really can't do it. You have to go back and forth, and then you miss things. Take tasks one at a time. You know, don't try to sit there. I have to reel it back in my head. And if I think about a whole week, like, oh, I got all these events I need to be at this week because it's Christmas and I got all these things. You know what? You just reel it back. Jesus said, just take one day at a time. Just to maybe take one task at a time and say, I'm not going to think about all the things I have to do next. I'm just going to be present for this moment. I'm going to enjoy this moment for what it is. I'm just going to embrace it. And I am not going to try to live all the moments of the next few days right now. Just one task at a time. That'll help. And then avoid trying to control the uncontrollables. You need to understand then where that line is, where you change what you can, but there are some things you can't control. And your stress will be sky high if you keep trying to control things that you reasonably cannot control. And at the top of that list, once again, I'm going to put people. If you try to control what you realistically can't control, you're going to feel all kinds of frustration and stress this holiday season. We even with expectations, remember last week? We said sometimes you just have to let people be. But this does bring us to the other part. You change what you can, and then you surrender the rest to God. And so we surrender what we can't control. Now, you know, a lot of people think the heart of the Christian life is commitment. And that's not right biblically. The heart of the Christian life is grace with surrender. And you know, we talk about commitment all the time, and I think we rob people of the power of the Spirit and the grace and life of Jesus because we won't talk about surrender. Now, here's the difference to me. Commitment is, I can still be sitting in the driver's seat, and I've got my hands on the steering wheel, my foot on the pedal. And commitment, you know, still keeps me in the driver's seat, right? Because I can still steer, like here's where I'm going to choose to be committed. And here's how fast, and here's how committed I'm going to be. Here's how fast I'm going to get there, my foot on the gas pedal. And commitment is a biblical concept. I mean, it's good, except we've made commitment the end all and be all of everything. And commitment has its place, but here's what surrender is. Here's where you get out of the driver's seat and you actually sit in the passenger seat. Or even better yet, you get in the back seat and you let Jesus step into the driver's seat. And you see, that's very different than commitment. Commitment can still leave me in control, but surrender means I have given up control to Him. I will be responsible for the things I can change. But in a life full, we live with this myth that we're in control. I want to tell you, it would just take one cell phone call tonight that could change the next few years in your life. I mean, we are not in the control that we think we are. It's much safer to live a surrendered life to Jesus. It's the way He designed us. Not us, I got all this pressure to be in control of everything. But rather, drive on, Jesus, and I'm with you. Wherever you want to go, wherever you want to take me, I'm going to yield to you. This is not controlling, this is yielding. This is why we're not talking about commitment and control often go together, but surrender and yieldedness go together. And I want to tell you, I have a lot more joy. I walk in a lot more strength of the Holy Spirit. I walk in much more touch with God when I focus on surrendering and yielding than gritting my teeth and trying to be more committed and trying to just be in control. So surrender and yieldedness are the ways to go. So I'm going to end with just four verses, and I want to challenge you to just pick one of these verses and make it your friend through this holiday season. And you know what? I skipped the verse earlier out of Ephesians 5. Sorry, I got going too fast. But Ephesians 5:18 is right here, and I love this. You can be around people who are drinking far too much alcohol, and we encourage all of you to stay away from alcohol completely, but this is an amazing verse. He says, don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Unfortunately, the celebration of Jesus coming to our world is marred with so much drunkenness. It's got to be just, it's just, a grievous thing to see, and it's a sad commentary. So much of our culture lives so addicted to chemicals. But listen, we don't need to get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. What about living in surrender to the power, in yieldedness to the power of the Holy Spirit upon your life? What if by the end of this holiday season, you walked out of this holiday season even more full and more surrendered to the power of the Holy Spirit than even you are on the front end of the holiday season? Partly because you're just going to have to depend on Him more. But this is always God's invitation. You're going to watch a world around you get drunk with wine, but you have a totally different way of living. You live in surrender to the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit Himself in your life. I mean, that's the verse I think I'm going to be carrying into the holiday season. It's the most important prayer I ever pray. God, would you just fill me with your Holy Spirit? I just need your Holy Spirit. I'm hungry for your Holy Spirit. And you know what? You can surrender all, you know, you can't change a lot of people. You can't change a lot of events and circumstances in the next month and a half. But you can be surrendered to the dominating, infilling power of the Holy Spirit. Here's another verse. Submit. This is James 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. There's a devil out there and he wants to take away your joy this season. He wants to stress you out. He wants to get you running ragged because there's a spiritual battle we're engaging. But it says, submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. God, I dedicate this holiday season to coming near to you. I mean, maybe that's the verse you want to carry through the next month and a half. God, every moment, every celebration, every worship service I'll be at, every party I'll be at, to whatever degree, I'm going to be coming near to you, Lord, and I'm doing this in your honor because you came into our world. Here's a great one, 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Whew. I mean, that is a stunner right there. I mean, some of us know it too well. It's lost its impact. He said, all your cares, grab them up in your soul. And what a great word, cast. He just didn't say, sort of just nicely hand them over. No, he said, just grab them all up and throw them at me. Because I'm good for it. And I happen to care so much about you that I'm going to carry your anxieties for you. That'd be an awesome one. All the things you can't control, all the things that bother you and you can't seem to change, just all your cares, cast them upon him. This is another way in which we surrender. It's not gritting your teeth and being more committed. It's just being more surrendered. Okay, God, I'm even going to surrender all my cares to you, thanking you that you care about me even more than I do. And then the last one, Proverbs 16 and verse 9. This is a great surrender verse as well. In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. So, you know, we do what we can. We plan. We get things on our calendar. We schedule. In a heart, a man plans his ways. But you know what? When we're surrendered to him, he kind of has the last word, right? I mean, who knows the conversations you're going to end up in the next month and a half that you could never have planned, but that God has arranged. You know, I thought I was going to this event, you know, just to make my boss happy for the work Christmas party. Who would have known that in the midst of that, I was going to have this amazing conversation with somebody I would have never dreamed I would have never met. They don't even work for the company. They're just a friend of somebody who I work with all the time. But God's orchestrating an opportunity for you to share and for you to be there. Who knows how he's going to adjust your travel schedule? Who knows how he's going to adjust all the areas in your life? I tell you, when you're surrendered, all the pressure isn't on you to call all the final shots. When you're surrendered, you're a part of a plan bigger than you. A man's heart may plan his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. Now, that'd be a great verse to carry through the holidays as well. I'm sticking with the first one. Lord, I don't want to be drunk with wine. I want to be full of the Holy Spirit. But you take your choice, all right? I think those four were really on my heart. So I know some of you, there's one of those for at least somebody here. All four. And may God help us. I would like you to stand.